there was moments where you saw your mom financially stressed and things like that, and you was, you know, actively trying to get money, the need to be right, all these other things. And then through Lost, you was actually able to find, like, your passion and really understand what really matters at the end of the day. So now we hear this book, Connected to Goodness. What are you connected to, and what is that goodness that continues to give you joy?
That is a great question. You know, my life changed when I lost everything. I lost over $100 million, went bankrupt. And it was because before that, and because for good intention, I wanted to help my mom, I wanted to help the community, because I grew up so poor. And a lot of guys that grew up poor, I've worked with so many athletes, celebrities, and entertainers, we feel responsible for all the people that we grew up with. And so I always wanted more. I wanted more money, more happiness, more health, more wealth. And by losing everything, I realized that I already had it. I had to figure out what I was doing to interfere with it. Because there's one simple thing about this book, and I'm very pragmatic in the way that I teach it. I have a lot of business experience.
Yeah.
I work with Napoleon Hill Institute and how Think and Grow Rich works. And for me, it was, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? So I teach people how to figure out what you're doing to interfere with one thing.
Wow.
Something bigger than you that loves you, protects you, and promotes you more than your mom.
Wow.
And it applies to every religion, philosophy, theory, and spirituality. People come to me and say, Dave, you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, is Jesus bigger than me? And does he love me more and protect me more and promote me more than my mom? And they say, absolutely. I said, I believe in Jesus.
Yo, that's so great.
It's easy.
And you see on my belt, Jesus is God. I don't play about that. Like, I put God first in everything that
me
I
too.
Do. I want to ask you a question. You probably never.
Because God is good.
Yeah, all the time. So I got something that I want to share with you. Something I was thinking about. So the very first word in your book, when you start reading, it says when. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we go to the end of the book. I'm going to tell you why I did this. The very first page of the book is
when.
If I could get this last page. All right, cool. Then the last word, technically I know it's nonetheless, but you end everything off with connect. So you start off with when, then you end off with connect. My question to you is, I'm not sure if you realized it in the process of making the book, but what is the when and how do you connect that? Like, when to connect? Like, because not everybody is ready to connect. So when do you know when to connect when you think about the beginning and the ending of this book?
For me, it's understanding we're always connected to God. We're always connected to God. So when is all the time. Now, I have a different philosophy about connecting because we're always connected. And so when do we figure out what we're doing to interfere with that connection? Mm. And most people spend a fortune, time, money, emotion, and relationships wasted over trying to figure out what we're afraid of, right? Therapists hate me. Let me tell you why.
No, Let's go talk about it.
I'm serious.
Talk about it.
Yeah. I go to therapy and my therapist hates me because I'm like, you know, we'll never figure out what I'm truly afraid of because, look, there's all kinds of trauma in my past.
Right.
If you believe in other lifetimes, then there's millions of lifetimes of trauma. But just in this lifetime, womb trauma, there's infant trauma, toddler trauma, there's elementary trauma. Yeah. Then you got tween and teen trauma, 20s, 30s, 40s, and I still got trauma in my 50s.
Wow.
So I don't want to waste time figuring out what I'm afraid of. Because I'm connected to something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom. So what I do is I'm looking at the instant and the obvious of what's interfering. What's instant and obvious? When we react to fear. Let me explain that. Mm. When you're angry, do you know it? When you're worried, do you know it? When you have a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior. Yeah. When you are separate from God, do you know it? I'm telling you, when you're angry, worried, upset, resentful, guilty, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, all those things, we know it instantly and it's obvious. So when I connect, instead of resisting God, instead of trying to go over him, under him, through him, around him, lie to him, cheat him, manipulate him, deny him, what I do is I stop. So when I'm angry, I work at it. It's not easy. When I'm married, so I get an argument with my wife. I don't go over it, under it, through it, around it, resist it. I just stop, breathe through my nose. I recollect with God. I remind myself with God. Yeah. I remember God. And then I roll into the right, the divine direction. And now that anger has become a divine detour, not a punishment, a promotion. And now I allow for God to take his divine time and provide me that protection, promotion, and love.
Well, yo, bro, I got to clap it up for my brother right here. This is my brother in Christ. I'm telling you that right now. Let me explain something to you, what you just detailed. What you just detailed, the very words of Jesus when he said, peace, be still. And a lot of times people be so on the go, so on the run, trying to get this to get that, that if you don't stop and see what's actually happening and what's actually going around you, you don't realize that you've already won. Like, think about it. Like, when you, the moment you give your life to Christ, like, a lot of people is fighting and running around trying to get something that's temporary, not realizing that you already been blessed with eternity. There's gifts that you haven't even experienced yet. Like, it's beautiful. So when you have that mindset now, the flesh is the flesh, but when you rock with the fruit of the Spirit, you'd be surprised at how even in business, there's biblical teachings that will help you in business to be able to thrive, bro. So, like, yo, bro, this is crazy. Like,
well, you most people don't realize, like, Jesus was rich, like financially rich. They talk about wearing what he wore in that he was a contractor. People knew him from lands far away. You had to be wealthy for that. You, go Google this. Everybody Google this. Mother Teresa's net wealth when she died. Her net worth.
Wow.
Actually, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I promise you'll be super surprised.
Wow.
She's
worth fire.
She's worth more than me and you combined.
Wow.
Crazy. I want to tell you this too. Everybody in your community, if you email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com, I will sign this book. I will send it to you. I will pay for shipping and the book. It's not one of those, I'll give you a free book, you pay $10 for shipping BS.
Yeah.
I'll pay for everything. That's how much I want to empower people, over a billion people in my lifetime, to be happy, to connect to God.
Now, one thing I want to ask you, this is a powerful question in my opinion. So I just had Denzel Washington on the show, right? I actually partner with them too. So I actually have my program called Playmakers inside of schools now. Nice. I got my first ever gaming children's book as well. Definitely going to give you a copy too.
Please.
And here's what I want to tell you. The first question that I asked them in front of the students and everything like that was about his passion in terms of why does he love to do what he does? You know what I'm saying? And he said his passion and his goal is to make sure that with what I do, it brings people closer to God. So what I love about it is that you got a lot of people in these powerful positions, still as great as they are, as much as we exalt them, still have the humility to put God first. So my question to you is, when you are looking to continue to grow, even in your 50s, you're looking to continue to grow, how difficult has it been sometimes where some people may not even understand where you coming from because they so still caught up in worldly things that they're not understanding that the true success comes from a spiritual manner? How do you relay that information in a world that's so quick to be profited off of negativity?
That's such a good question again. So first, there's an old saying, you're either humble or you're about to be.
Oh, yo, hold on a second, sir. Hold on. You made me take my jacket off. I'm taking the jacket off, son. Oh my gosh, bro. Yo, I never heard nobody say that like that ever in my life. Yo, wait. If you remember, please say that again.
Of course. You're either humble or you're about to be. And that's my journey every day. And when I meet people, you got to meet them where they're at. And so one of my mentors, most people won't know who this is. You got to Google him. This guy, Dennis Waitley, was he was like a Zig Ziglar, famous sales guy.
Wow.
And I was not humble when I was young. I was a millionaire 9 months out of law school. All I wanted to be, I had a Ferrari, right? I mean,
you had ski, I had lessons.
Exactly. Bro. And so Dennis was trying to teach me how to be a sales professional.
Mm.
He said, son, you are natural. You'd be like an athlete that literally could be so much better than everybody else. That's why I was in sales.
Mm.
And he said, but you got to work at it. Because if you learn to love what you don't like about sales and you learn to love what you don't love about sales and you do it every day, if you listen to me, son, and I allow me to help you, life will tell you all its secrets. It'll give you the cheat codes. And if I had the cheat codes of that game, I would have kicked your ass. But I got the cheat codes to life. And so when I meet people, I try to meet them where they're at by listening for what they like and what they don't like. Because value is derived by giving people just two things. If you give someone more of what they like or take away what they don't like, you're going to provide them value. And so I want to provide value to people. And here's the thing. If you have a closed mind, it takes 1,000 times the effort to re-engineer a closed mind. But I'll tell you what you can do to a closed mind. Because that's what Mr. Whately did to me when I was in my early 20s. You can plant seeds under a tree that you may never sit under. And when you watch my content out there, I'm planting seeds under trees, and people will come to me and look, you talk about Gary Vee, a good friend of mine. Yeah. He tells me all the time, there's so many people that don't like me when they first meet me. They think I'm full of, and I'm planting seeds, and here I am 10 years later, and they're like, Gary, you changed my life.
Yeah.
Because you planted a seed under a tree that you may never sit under. And so my job is to provide value, get people what they like, take away what they don't like, and plant seeds when they have a closed mind for when the mind opens up, then the roots will grow deep and the tree will grow fast.
Wow, yo, bro. So now I gotta ask you this, man, because this is like such a moving interview, bro. So the part about being humble, you said if you're not humble,
you're humble about to be.
Yeah, either you're humble or you're about to be.
Exactly.
So now here's my question to you. What specific moment you went through that gave you the ability to say that?
It actually was 2 years before I lost everything. So what had transpired before that 2 year moment, which I'll get to, is number one, when I was 30 years old, my dad, we had an estranged relationship. He gave me a jacket for my birthday, my 30th birthday, with no pockets. I was furious. He told me I was just like him, that I thought money would buy happiness, and he was trying to teach me not to be like him. I wasn't ready. I had a closed mind. I told him, F you, I hate you. I'm nothing like you. You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, F you. 6 years after that, I'm running the most notable sports agency in the world with Warren Moon, who wrote the foreword of my book. And my best friend tells me that he's not going to go to the Masters with me because he doesn't like what I'm doing and who I hang out with. I told him, F you, I hate you. Now, 2 weeks later, is that moment that I'm talking about, that humbling moment. I'm worth over $100 million. I live in my dream house, married to my dream girl from the fourth grade, three beautiful girls, healthy, happy, under 10 years old. And I lie to my wife. I went to the Grammy Awards with Little John, and I came home wasted. I was using drugs and alcohol at that time. And my wife was waiting for me, and she said she's leaving. She said she wasn't happy. She told me that I needed to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. Ooh. I told her, F you, look, I remember I was drunk, right? Look around you. Who do you think did all of this? That's where my humility level was, right? Look who did all this. I went to bed, woke up even madder. I remember telling myself, I hate my mom because she's always telling me I was lost. I hate my dad. I hate my best friend and I hate my wife. Why does everybody else love me? Why does everybody else treat me with respect? And these four people, all they're doing is trying to knock me down. They're so unappreciative.
Wow.
And I was thinking to myself, I go good to a lawyer. You know, I'm a lawyer myself. I'm going to go take everything. I'm going to take all their money, right? Because money buys happiness in my mind. And I look over. I hadn't seen that jacket. And I looked at the jacket. I still get choked up. I looked at the jacket and I said to myself, I don't hate my mom. I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my best friend. I certainly don't hate my wife. Wow. I hated myself. I was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller. And so I sat there all day thinking about taking stock in who I was. And I came up with the four values in these books. Gratitude, that's who I was. Forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration, effective communication. And so that's when I started the outline for this book. That's when I started to change my life. That's when God came into my life that I am, and I got rid of all the other things I was doing to interfere with it. And the best thing for me is I saved my marriage, and my wife, so wise, she didn't give me an ultimatum. I begged her to stay with me. I told her I would make these changes? And she said, as long as you try. She didn't say, she didn't say, oh, next time I see you drinking, I'm leaving. Next time I see you, because she's so old school, old soul. She said to me, as long as every day I see you trying, I know you're going to get there. I know you will. And I want to stay with you. And 2 years later, I lost everything, over $100 million. And she stuck with me there, but I was in a position to handle it. Because when your purpose is greater than your pain, and trust me, there's a lot of pain when you lose that much money, and people throw down at you and blame you and all the shit that goes on, you couldn't even imagine. But my purpose was greater than my pain, because my purpose was connected to God, connected to goodness, and I just had figured out all the things I was doing to interfere with it. That day, I was promoted, protected, and loved. And that's what got me here 17 years later to a better place, making more money, helping more people, and having more fun, because I live with a purpose connected to something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom.
What? Yo, bro, no, bring it in, bro. Oh my gosh. Bro, this is like one of the realest interviews I've ever done in my life. And I've done tons, man. And I'm going to tell y'all something. This is my first time meeting him in person. You know what I'm saying? I knew of him. I knew you was involved with the Global Gaming League, and I'm talking to Clinton and everything like that. And when Ashley was like, yo, I got to tell you something, hip-hop. I'm like, yo, you know David Meltzer? I'm like, yeah, I know David Meltzer. What? You're like, yo, I got him. What do you mean you got him? Listen, you need to understand how excited. Right? Like,
I'm going to be back.
Like, you know what
I'm saying? This is now my new home.
Yeah, bro, you got to understand how excited I was. And then, you know, a lot of times when you... read about somebody and you know, there's a book and you promote and all this other stuff. I'm just excited to meet you. And you never know what God is going to do. Like you could think about this plan that, no. When God do something, you know it's God because you had no clue of how it was going to, you know, like be executed, right? What I'm going to tell you, man, earlier when I was telling you about my grandmother who taught me how to play video games when I was 4, when my grandmother passed away, man, I was holding her hand. Like, the last breath that she took, I'm holding her hand. And then I stopped everything. I wasn't going to do no more gaming, no nothing. I just didn't have it in me. And then it was 2 weeks later. And it was as if God was like, so you're going to give up everything that your grandmother worked for to give you the opportunity, and you won't throw it all away. So I realized in my pain, I was becoming very selfish, man. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I was like, it's bigger than me. Like, when I'm listening to your journey and I'm thinking about the parallels of things that I've gone through in my life, we come from different walks of life, but look at how we met together. And I said that to say this. This book is a manifestation of what you're seeing right now, because he's connected to goodness, I'm connected to goodness, and now we just got connected to each other. And that's how it works. That's the beauty of the Lord. Bro, I'm telling you right now.
Thank you.
This book and everything that's happening right now, you're seeing it in real time, yo. This interview is one of the most important interviews that you have to watch, because it's not something about just changing your life. It's being inspired to change others' lives, and that's the goal that we're preaching right now.
Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time. Imagine starting a small business, your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
I got a few more questions for you, man. Just playing the game, right? And getting that feel again. And I know you called out Jeff with the price line. Yeah. Like that. My question to you is, how do you think the Global Gaming League could also be utilized as a tool to connect more people to goodness?
Yeah, well, my mission in life is aligned with the Global Gaming League. And what I mean by that is that the math is in the essence of, if I can empower 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people, 1,000 times 1,000, a million times 1,000, a billion. Right now, I create a collective consciousness, a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other, a community of people that understand I am, and I am connected to God, to goodness, and I just got to figure out and help other people figure out, what are we doing to interfere with it? What are we doing? Where's the ego edging God out of our life, edging gold out of our life, edging goodness out of our lives? Where is that happening? And so what is the Global Gaming League? It's a community of people. It's a collective consciousness in itself. It's bringing people from all aspects of life, different ages, sizes, colors, religions, all people coming together, bounded, like I've binded people with sports, with gaming. And I've seen it happen throughout history that this common bond drops all borders. It drops color, it creates color blindness, right? It creates political blindness. It's the gaming and the sports that allows us to unify. That's how the Olympics were formed, to bring the world together. The Global Gaming League is like the Olympics. It's bringing everybody together in a modern way to create a culture of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other. It's creating a culture aligned with what I believe creates happiness, which is to live in abundance, to have faith that you can give everything and you'll be given everything. Ooh. You are worthy of receiving everything, and even more worthy of asking for more, because there's more than enough of everything for everyone. And the Global Gaming League is this modern day way of bringing together all ages, sizes, shapes, religions, and politics into a way where we live in abundance, we help a ton of people, and you could see by, go ahead, watch the video, I almost beat them. We have a lot of fun.
Let's go. I'll show them some stuff. You know what I'm saying?
He taught me.
And he started getting it really fast. So first of all, shout out to Bandai Namco for making such a great game.
For everyone.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely for everyone. And here's, I got something major for you, bro. I got to ask you this, right? When you talk about connected to goodness, the life that you lead now versus what was before, just the mindset and the change, what hip-hop artist you feel would be the perfect artist to summarize the soundtrack of your life?
Damn, well.
Let's go.
Oh, man. I'm a big, big fan of Snoop.
Woo!
You know, and I think the reason is that he's beyond hip-hop.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Far.
I mean, so watch
far.
Him in the, like, he's everywhere for everyone.
Yeah.
And he's local to me, right? He's West Coast.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed that we've coached his kids. I've mentored his son in business, Cordell.
Wow. Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yo, shout out to Cordell, because I know he's working on his game and joint with the Death Row stuff.
Yeah.
Yo, keep going.
So yeah. Snoop to me, you know, he's beyond all the bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Martha Stewart and Snoop. Snoop at the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, we have, believe it or not, the Hip-Hop Hall of Fame with Tupac. And my wife is literally a middle-aged rapping mofo. She's like 5 feet. So we're old school. But I think Snoop by far, he's more mass mainstream. But when you're around him, you know God's coming through him. Not just with his music. Who he touches, I don't know if you saw him at the swap meet the other day.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But I watch Snoop all the time, but I didn't see that one in particular.
I mean, he's there helping people. He's authentic. So your essence are your skills, your knowledge, and your desire. Snoop Dogg has amazing skills, amazing knowledge of who and what, and he has the common denominator that you and I have and other people. You know, I've done like 1,950 podcasts of the playbook. I've done 4,000 in some interviews, so you're going to have to come on my TV show, my podcast
as well. Bro, it'll be a humbling honor,
but you've earned, because I only look for one thing. Does this person have a desire that they must be what they can be? And you have that desire. Snoop has that desire. But that desire, Denzel has that desire.
Yeah.
You must be what you can be. And we all know what we can be because we're connected to and through something bigger than us that loves us more than our mom.
Yo,
or grandma.
Bro. Oh, your grandma. Yo, I love it. So I got two more questions. Then we're going to wrap this up, man. Now, my next question is, and this is very interesting because when it comes to business, a lot of times it's hard for people to say no. Like, you know what I'm saying? They see an opportunity and they just want it because they see the dollar signs, but they may not see the bigger picture, right? So I'm going to give you an example of me, and I would love for you to share, like, an experience with yourself. So when I was 14, right, me and my brother and my cousin, we got offered a record deal. And just to let you know, like, MC Shan was literally going to sign us and stuff like that as well. And there was this guy... we did a school talent show at IS-292 in Brooklyn in my junior high school, right? I'm going to tell you how far back this was. If you remember this dude named Crazy Sam, there was a dude named Crazy Sam back in the day. He loved us. Crazy. We had on these Parasuco jeans and stuff like that with the line down. And it was nuts. We did a great performance. So then what happened is, there was a gentleman by the name of Meatloaf, right? And, like, he wanted 20% of the whole thing. He introduced us to some people. And when I tell you, I'm 14 at the time, and I'm full-blown gangster, hardcore, Brooklyn, I don't give a... Like, you know, that's how I was, right? And something... that it was nothing but God. But at the time, I wasn't sure what was going on. When I tell you, like, I felt very, like, weird. Like, something was wrong. And I was like... I don't want to be a part of this. Like, something ain't right. And my grandmother always kept me in church, always kept me around, but something wasn't right, David. And I didn't sign. And they wouldn't sign individually. So whoever didn't want to sign, nobody got a deal then. And I just said no. Now, just imagine, stop right there. Just imagine you 14 years old, you got a lot of money that's about to come to you if you sign, and you got a brother and a cousin that's looking at you very upset because you said no. And the resentment, and yo, it was bad, especially at the age of 14. And now I'm 41, bro. And it was one of the best yet most important decisions I ever made in my life simply because I said no. So my question to you is, what was your biggest no that turned you into a legendary author, entrepreneur today that got you connected to this goodness, man?
I'll tell you, first of all, you're made by the people you say no to, not by the people you say yes to. You're made by them.
I can't do this. Let me come back. I can't do this. It's too much, David.
Yeah.
It's too... Oh, my gosh. That is...
So relative to this book and to what I do and how I do it to empower over a billion people to be happy, when I wrote this book, I was offered a lot of money to publish and distribute this book. And none of the big publishers, I won't mention their names, they won't let me give it for free because it would cannibalize the sales.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, when you're a first-time author, now I've written a lot of books since then, but... I told them unless I could give it away for free, and I'm going to, like I said, David@dmeltzer.com, I will sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book, but I demanded to move forward, I have to be able to give it for free because that wasn't aligned with my timing and risk tolerance, my mission, and none of them would do it. And so for me, I think my entire community, I wouldn't have had the authenticity, the real purpose of my life would have been disseminated or denigrated by the fact that I was making money off of people. Here's what's so funny about it. You got to hear me on this. Last year, in 2023, I gave away over 20,000 books. This year, I'm going to give away over 100,000.
Wow.
But even though I tell everybody, right, all the shows on the video, right, don't buy the BS, no shipping and handling, right, everything's for free. For some reason, even though everybody knows they can get this book for free, I sold over 100,000 books. Wow. By telling people not to. So if you don't understand abundance, if you don't believe there's an infinite loop of giving, see, most people think that giving is trading, meaning I give to receive. And that's BS. You know, that's the more, even the more you give, the more you receive has a trade in it. For me, I've done all the research of all the spirituality theories, philosophies, and religions. They all say this, the more you give, the more you're given. See, given is a responsibility. What do I mean by responsibility? Unless you have forgiveness in your heart and gratitude in your head, you won't see what you're given. I see the reason I keep making so much money, not just on this book, but in life, is other people are like, oh, you've been punished. You lost everything. Oh, your wife almost left. This is punishment and not me. I look to God and say, God, what am I given by this? What are you trying to show me? Where's this divine detour supposed to take me so I don't ever feel punished? I had to go to my mom's house worth over $100 million, tell her I went bankrupt, but worse, that she had to move because this idiot, Mr. Humble, forgot to take my name off her title, so she lost her home and had to move. My mom, at that time, talk about being protected and promoted, I was crying. I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm going to make this up. I said, why am I being punished, Mom? I tried to do my best. I wanted to do this for you. Why am I being? There must not be a God. I don't believe in God. And my mom looked at me and said, oh, son, you believe in God. I said, no, I don't. She said, son, you just believe in the wrong God.
Oh, bars, bro. Hold on. Got the potato there. Bars, bro. That is, go ahead, man. Keep talking.
And so that's the moment of no punishment. Yes, I made mistakes, but if I could take those mistakes as a divine detour in a divine direction, a higher direction, and allow for divine time to reveal through gratitude and forgiveness, finding the light, the love, and the lesson in the lowest basements, right? My basement had a basement that day. It did.
Wow.
But I found the light, the love, and the lessons. And now those moments of saying no, those moments of losing, mistakes, setbacks, and failures become promotions of extraordinary size, scope, and scale so that you're capable of having a purpose so great that you can withstand so much pain. Remember this about pain. You don't have a choice about pain. You're going to get, especially if you're an entrepreneur like me, you're going to get kicked in the face every day.
Yeah.
But you know what you do have a choice about? Struggle. See, struggle's a choice. I don't struggle. I have pain in my life and I have promotion, but I choose not to struggle. I choose to learn by using gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons and forgiveness of myself for the mistakes that I've made, so I utilize learning them to get to where I want to be or better.
Yo, bro, Dave, thank you so much. Listen, let me tell y'all something right now. This right here, and just from speaking with David, it's one thing to watch it, but it's another thing to like be present like with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? This book right here is more than a book. It's more than just the words. It's more than just the pages. Like, this is how you truly change somebody else's life through your humility that will come from reading this book. This interview right here, I believe, will humble a lot of people that watch it. It is very, when I tell you, man, it's an honor, bro. It's an honor to be able to do what I do, to have people like you to talk to, because through the conversation, there's medicine. Mm-hmm. I pray that y'all received it. Real talk. One love and God bless. Make sure y'all follow my brother, David Meltzer. Please follow him. Watch his office hours on Instagram. I'm in tune, bro. I'm
putting him on the show.
I'm with you, bro. Like, watch his office hours. This is what it's all about. Period. If we could push stuff like this more, we could see a better balance and results that we see today. Right. One love. God bless. You rocking with the GOAT of the game, hip hop gamer, and the GOAT of entrepreneurship, David Meltzer.